praise God for all the talent in this church. Not only musical talent, but athletic talent, personality talent. I'm so thankful to be among a group of teenagers that I know that the teachers like to have in their classrooms. I've been told that. Don't disappoint me here. That's a blessing, and I appreciate y'all so much. Turn with me tonight, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. We're gonna look at a few verses here tonight. And thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to just kind of move this service around and along. Thank you for being so open to the movement of power of God. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to read one verse there, and then we're going to pop over to 2 Timothy for a little bit. What a beautiful book. Man, I love this book. Wow. I can't wait to get to read it with a mind that could actually understand it. It's going to be so much fun. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's start with verse 10. He says, now if Timothy come, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 10, now if Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he works the works of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto you, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come to you with the brethren, but his will was not to come at all at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Now, pop over with me here to 2 Timothy for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians on his third missionary trip when he was at Ephesus, and just as a matter of trivia, Paul actually sent that letter on Easter Sunday morning while he was in Ephesus and sent that letter with Timothy down to the Corinthian church. 2 Timothy 4 is the end of Paul's life. He has already withstood one trial and be acquitted, but he's been tried again, and now he's going to be executed for being a Christian. And so here we're going to start here at verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not only to me, but unto all those that love his appearing. Do diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's proper with the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou come, please bring it with you, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be to you. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to read your word. And now, God, direct my mind and hallelujah. Lord God, direct my words tonight, God, to be your words, God, that would dig deep within our hearts, oh God. And I give you praise for it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Throughout my life, I've had really one desire. I've done a lot of things. I went to engineering. I worked for several companies. I've been a lot of places and done a lot of things and been involved in a lot of deals. But, and I may not have always done it well. I may not have always done it well, but my one desire throughout my whole life is that I would be a God chaser. I have always, from the time that I can remember, my earliest memories, I have always desired to be someone that chased after God with all my heart. Even as a boy of 5 or 6 years old, my mom used to have a little reel, one of those little video reels that you put on, you know, the film thing and thread it through, those little, what was it, 8 millimeter, 16 millimeter, whatever it was, reel. And even in that, she had a little reel of me. One time that I saw was me, and I was preaching. I was about 6 years old, and that's just, you know, I think I even had 2 six-shooters on my hip, if I'm right. But I was giving it all I had. And, you know, it's just always been me. Now, I haven't always done it well. I haven't always been the best at it. But it doesn't mean the desire hasn't always been there deep within my spirit to be one that chases after God. Now, if you're a God chaser, then I want to let you know that Paul tells us here in 2 Timothy what the goal of a God chaser is. It's not to raise people from the dead. The goal of a God chaser is not to be one that gets on TV and has a great ministry. The goal of a God chaser is not somebody that pastors a mega church. The goal of a God chaser is not somebody that gets their picture put in lights and everybody knows who they are and they get invited to all kind of camp meetings to speak. The goal of a God chaser is simply given by this: I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. The goal of a God chaser is to fight a good fight. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor of a church of 10 or if you're a pastor of a church of 10,000. What matters is, are you fighting a good fight? Are you pressing forward and moving into what God has called you to do? Have you made your goals and your desire to be pleasing in His sight? Paul called himself a doulos, D-U-O, L-O-S. That word is still used in Greek today, in Greece today. Doulos. A doulos means someone who is so committed to his master that he never expects to be unchained, that he will serve him all his life, and he will constantly put his master's desires before himself. And that's what you call, that's what Paul called himself, a doulos. If you go to Greece today and you find someone that's taking care, a nanny if you would, somebody that's taking care of the children of a family who put that family before their own needs, they call that person a doulos. And that's what Paul called himself. He wasn't concerned about anything about himself. He was only concerned with pleasing the one who saved him and redeemed him. And he fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. And I want to let you know tonight that if you're a God chaser, your number one goal, your number one job is to fight a good fight. To keep things moving forward. To keep God moving forward in your life. To keep bringing yourself under subjection. To keep working toward the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. To not get caught up in all the politics and all the, and I'm talking about inside the church, all the politics and all the junk and all the stuff that we tend to want to get bogged down in and get to give our opinion because we're Americans. And since we're Americans with three people, you have at least 5 opinions. And they're all right and they're all important. Because we're Americans, so we know. But if you don't get caught up in that and you simply chase after Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you simply seek after Him, you simply come after Him and want to please Him and do the will of God more than anything else in your life, then you'll find yourself being a God chaser. If you're a God chaser, you're going to want to finish your course. You're going to want to finish your course. You're not going to want to get bogged down in something that's going to stop you. There is such a thing in the Christian life as disqualifying yourself. You can get in a position. You can get in a job that maybe you don't want to leave. You can get into a relationship that you don't want to that slows you down. You can get involved in a ministry that overtakes you to where you're so caught up with the leader of the ministry that you lose sight of God. Oh, that would never happen, would it? We would never get so enamored by some great minister that we would follow after him and somehow forget what God has called us to do, would we? Oh, yeah, we would. Yeah, we would. And if we're not careful, that's what happens. Because we have to remember that God gave me a course. He gave me a fight. He gave me a direction. And I... Philip... Saul... held the coats... Paul, yeah, Saul, held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And then in Acts chapter 8, he started making havoc of the church. And a guy named Philip went to Samaria. And whenever he went to Samaria, he started an amazing revival. The Bible says that people were coming, and I don't remember, that's not that place, but the Bible says that people were coming and that they were being set free and that the power of God was moving and that God was saving souls and touching lives and it made such a racket that even the disciples at Jerusalem, they sent Peter and John up there. And when Peter and John got up there, Philip had done such a good job of teaching, such a good job of preparing the ground, that when Peter and John got there, all they had to do was start laying their hands on people and God was filling them with the Holy Spirit. Every time they got together, they had a hallelujah runaway. I'm telling you, the glory of God was falling to the point that even one of the guys that was caught up in witchcraft that God had saved asked Peter to give him the understanding of how to lay his hands on people, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. This was a glorious moment, and God told Philip what? Leave the revival. What? Lord. Are you kidding me? No, he wasn't kidding. Leave the revival. Go down to a desert place at this road right here and stand and wait. And Philip left a powerful revival. He left the glory of the Lord. He left Peter and John. He left all the prestige, everything associated with it. And he goes down to the road that goes to Gaza in the middle of a desert place and sits and waits, and a man drives by on a chariot reading the book of Isaiah. What's the odds of that? And he invites Philip up into the chariot. And Philip leads him to the Lord. And then they stopped the chariot. And somewhere out there in that desert, they found a pool of water. I don't know where they found it, but they found a pool of water. And they baptized this guy. And the Bible says that when he came out of the water, Philip wasn't there anymore. And the next time they saw Philip, he was about 18 miles away. But Philip would have never had that encounter with God if he'd have stayed at the revival. Do you see what I'm saying? If you're going to be a God chaser, you've got to be able to finish your course. You've got to be able to move where God is moving you. You've got to be able to do what God has given you to do. You've got to be able to chase after God, and if He opens the door, then you walk through the door. You walk through it without hesitation, knowing that God has opened the door for you. And if you're going to be a God chaser, you have to be able to fight a good fight, but you also have to be able to finish your course. Now, being a God chaser is not the easy path. It's not the easy way. Because as we complete going through this chapter, I want you to notice this. Paul is in a moment where he knows that his execution is imminent. He knows he's going to be executed. And here's what we find out about Paul's life at the moment that he needs the most support. At the moment that he needs somebody to come and stand with him, what do we find? Number one, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. If you're going to chase God, you're going to find out that some people that you think you can depend on are not going to be there when you need them. Some people that you really thought were going to be there for you, to support you, to help you, that whenever you called a fundraiser, you just knew these people were going to show up and help you on your way. And whenever you get there, you found out that not only have they not shown up, but they went somewhere else. They're not there for you. They've forsaken you. They've loved something else. And they're no longer a part of what you're doing. They're no longer a part of what you're going to. And what you're going to have to understand as a God chaser is there's going to be times when God is going to have you break some relationships. Not Demas went back into the world. Paul loved Demas. Paul calls Demas out a couple other places in Scripture as being a companion. But now Demas has gone away. He's taken a different path. He's gone a different place. And I tell you, my heart always wants to go chase him. My God, always, my heart always wants to go pull him back. My heart always wants to go out there and say, come on, don't do this. You're not doing, let's get back in the fold. Come on. But as a God chaser, sometimes you've just got to turn that over to the Lord. You got two guys in Scripture that started this thing in Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas went on the first missionary journey together, and they took with them Barnabas' nephew. His name's John Mark. And they got out there and they went to Cyprus and they had a hallelujah runaway and everything was great and people were getting saved and they were believing the message of Jesus Christ. And they went through the Isle of Crete where Barnabas was from and where John Mark knew the land and everything was good. And when they got to the end of Crete, Paul says, hey, let's go across the bay over here to Perga. And they head that way and they get to Perga. When they get to Perga, the Bible theologian tells us they met disaster. There was sicknesses there. It was a low-lying country. It's like going to Winnie, you know. Lots of mosquitoes, malaria, a lot of sicknesses. Most people believe that Paul or Barnabas got sick. It wasn't a good situation. It got hard. They didn't have money coming in. They'd been gone long enough. They got homesick. And John Mark said, I'm out of here. And he headed back to Jerusalem. Well, you know the rest of the story. Paul and Barnabas went on up to Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, and they saw the power of God, and they came back, and then they went to the first church business meeting in Acts chapter 15, and at the end of that business meeting, Paul says, hey, Barnabas, let's go back to all the places we went before, and let's see how the churches are doing. And Barnabas says, that's a great idea. Let me grab John Mark. And Paul said, I'm not taking John Mark. He bailed on me. When we were at our lowest, whenever we were at the very bottom, he bailed on me. And I'm not taking John Mark. So now Barnabas is left with a decision. Is Barnabas going to go with Paul and reestablish the churches? Or is Barnabas going to stay home and take care of John Mark? In this particular case, Barnabas stayed home. And he took care of John Mark. And you see right here, Paul says, take Mark and bring him with you, for now he's profitable. So Barnabas did a good job there. He did a good thing there. But what did Barnabas miss by not following and going with Paul? He missed the revival in Philippi. He missed the revival in Berea. He wasn't there whenever the Thessalonians were giving praise to God. He missed going down to Athens. He wasn't at Corinth. There's a lot of things he didn't go to, a lot of things he wasn't a part of, because he made a decision to stay with somebody and to help them instead of going and being a part of what God was doing with that particular group of men. And all I'm telling you tonight is that sometimes you run into decisions. You run into situations where somebody that you thought you could depend on is not going to be there for you, and you run into a situation of, am I going to continue and chase after God and leave this person behind and go, or am I going to stay? Am I going to stay and maybe not fulfill the destiny that God has given for me? Are you with me? A God chaser chases after God. What's the song we used to sing? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Sometimes a decision has to be made. Sometimes people also, as we press on here a little bit, we find Christians went to Galatia and Titus went to Dalmatia. Both men, good, strong men. But they left Paul at a moment when he needed them to go do ministry in other places. We also find over here in 1 Corinthians where he said, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired for him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not to come at this time. So what do we find? We find sometimes we think that somebody will come go with us. Somebody, I know I can depend on so-and-so to come and help me, but you may find out that God has led them a different way. And if you're going to be a God chaser, then you, just as you have to continue to chase down your path and do what God has given you to do, then sometimes you've got to let other people do what God has given them to do. I would love it. I would absolutely love it if God left the A team right here. If God left the A team right here, if God just left everything, but you know what I find? I find that God takes someone like Candace and lays on her heart to go to Ireland. I found that sometimes God moves upon Martha Jordan and sends her to Silsby. God moved upon the heart of Lisa Lamy, she went down to New Covenant. God moves upon the hearts of people and he puts them in places where they need to be. And I'm going to tell you, I wish they all stayed here. I don't want to let anybody go. But I know that if you stay here, you won't be chasing God like he wants you to chase him. We've had other people that just said, I feel like that the God is calling me to go to a different church. And I say, who made you mad? And they'll say, nobody. It's just the will of God. And you know what? Sometimes you find that God will take somebody that you really thought you could count on, somebody that was going to be a bosom buddy, and he'll take them and he'll send them somewhere else where they're needed. And you have to keep going in what God has called you to do. And if you're going to be a God chaser, you're going to have to learn to let those things go. You're going to have to learn to let some people go that whose direction's not the same as yours. You're going to have to learn to let some people go whenever their direction, God's taking them someplace new in the ministry. Are you with me? You're going to have to, we got to learn to let those things go, because we got to let them do the will of God just like we want us to do the will of God. And if we're going to be a God chaser, the most important thing we do is we finish our course. We fight a good fight. And even though people may disappoint us, or even though we may be disappointed, you know, Brother Woods had, and I'm not bragging on me here, but I'm just giving you an example. Brother Woods had several ministers in that church down there in First Assembly. If he missed a Sunday, he had several of us young guys that he could tap and say, hey, can you preach for me Sunday? But you know what happened over time? God moved them all out. He wasn't mad at Brother Woods. Brother Woods just raised us up. And once he matured us and raised us up, then God said, okay, time for you to leave home. Sam's fixing to leave home. Go to Arkansas. I don't think he's going to commute from Fred every day. There comes a time. Janet's fixing to leave home. The army's not going to let her live over here with mom and dad while she's in the military. She's going to have to leave home and go to Wyoming or someplace. I don't know. I probably can't tell you. She'll probably shoot you. Have to shoot you if she tells you. Virginia, there comes a moment in time when God matures people in the church. If a church is effective and doing the will of God, then it's going to be a place that draws people in, but it's also going to be a place that sends people out. Amen? And if I want to see the will of God accomplished in your life, sometimes I got to let some people go, even though I may not want to. I'm sure Paul would have desired Christians to stay with him. I know he would have wanted Timothy to be with him, but he had to let them both go. He had to let all of those people go and do what God had called them to do so that he could complete the course that God had given him. And all I'm saying tonight is that sometimes you'll get frustrated and angry and not understand, because some relationships you have to break because they're not going the same direction as you, and some relations God breaks because he's called people to do different things. And if you're going to be a God chaser, then you got to let God be God. You got to let God be God. Another thing you see here is he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. If you're going to be a God chaser, you're going to find yourself a lot of times at odds with somebody. Not because you want to be at odds with them. Not because you're trying to be at odds with them. Not because you want any of that. You just want everybody to love one another. But you're going to find that there's going to be some people that the convicting power of God works in their life to the point that they oppose you, that they talk about you, that they Maybe even this has been several years ago, but I went to an event several years ago and I met a man that I didn't know at the time, but somehow he knew me. And whenever I talked to him, he said, "So I heard y'all are doing line dancing at the church now." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I heard, that's what I heard." He said, "I'm not saying anything about it. Don't get offended. I just heard y'all were doing some line dancing at the church now." I said, "I'm not sure what you're even talking about. And I don't know where that came from." But this man, who is a Christian, somebody had told him, "Well, you know, down there at Oak Grove, they're all off in the flesh now. They're doing line dancing and who knows what all, you know?" And I thought, why would somebody even say that? I think the closest we come to doing line dance is whenever we deep calls out the deep and we go to the left and we go to the right. Maybe that's line dancing. I don't know. I thought you kicked and shuffled sometimes with line dancing. I don't know. But the point is this. Why would anybody even want to talk about this church? But for some reason, we came up in conversation and somebody said, "Well, I hear they're just doing a bunch of line dancing down there. Who knows what they're into? I wouldn't send my child down there. Who knows what goes on in that youth group? They're probably kissing and swapping couples up there." I mean, they didn't say that. They just said line dancing. I filled in the rest of it. But that's how rumors get started. And what I want to let you know is whenever you're chasing after God, people are going to say things about you that aren't true. You're going to hear things that you were involved in that you didn't even know you could even do. And that's just part of it. Because when you're chasing after God, you're going to find out that some people are jealous of the things that God is doing in your life. You're going to find out that some people are offended because of the things that God's doing in your life. And all I'm going to tell you is, you just got to let those things go in one ear and out the other. It does no good to get up on Facebook and try to defend yourself. Absolutely no good at all. Then everybody says, "Well, if they weren't guilty, why are they defending themselves?" Because I don't want you spreading bad rumors about me. You know, and all I'm saying tonight is that if you're going to be a God chaser, Paul tells us right here that there's some things that's going to happen. You're going to have people who oppose you, people who don't believe you, people who think that you're wrong, people that don't agree with your doctrine, people that tend to shy away from you when they see you at places. And all I can tell you is this: when those things happen, just remember whose you are and whom you're serving. Because if you're chasing after God, in this world you're going to have tribulation. In this world you may be talked about. In this world you may be despised. Paul says that the disciples were like the offscouring of the earth. He calls himself a man that people like to stand and watch in gladiator games. He calls himself that because he feels like he is such a spectacle that God has set him out there, as all the disciples were. And all I want to let you know tonight is whenever you decide to become a God chaser, you've got to remember your two goals in life is this: fight a good fight and finish your course. You're going to have people leave you. You're going to have people go out from you. You're going to have people talk about you. You're going to have times right here. He says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray to God that it be not laid to their charge." There's going to be some times when you thought you could depend on somebody to defend you, and they're not going to defend you. My wife was the women's leader at First Assembly at one time. She had a women's group that ran about 30 or so people, and they went places together. They had wonderful times together. I know you can imagine how good of a women's leader my wife was. She was amazing. She was an amazing women's leader. But they got a couple of people in that women's group who had a very good ability to yan-yan. Know what I mean by yan-yan? They had a very good ability. And they got off one time to a women's conference, and they started to have a little bit of contention in one of the rooms from these ladies that were having a problem. And one of them called her husband to come drive to Houston to get her out of this room. And it turned into a big deal. It shouldn't have been a big deal, but it was a big deal. And Kathy went to the lady that was her right-hand person, the lady that was a spiritual counselor to her, the lady that she had leaned on before, the lady that was second in command, a lady that has always supported her in the past. And Kathy said, "Help me here. What do I need to do?" And she said, "I think you're wrong too. I'm taking their side." What? Kathy didn't do anything. She gave her all. She arranged them rooms. She helped them with fundraisers. She gave, and you know my wife, she gave everything she had. She wouldn't offend anybody. But in a moment when she needed somebody to stand by her side and to help her corral this, what she found is somebody that instead deserted her, left her high and dry. You deal with it. I agree with them. And all I'm telling you tonight is that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Boy, some of you looking at the ground go, "Oh, my goodness, that's bad." And it was. But I'm telling you, it was so bad that Sunday morning, that you can appreciate this, it was so bad that Sunday morning, all the ladies were gathered up in a little circle, crying on each other's shoulders, hugging each other, telling each other they were sorry. But at the moment, no one stood with her. She tried to handle it all by herself. And she did. But if you're a God chaser, you're going to find yourself alone sometimes. You're going to find that whenever you try to, if you get in a situation, you're going to find everybody else runs. Nobody else is going to stand there. You're like the old boy that defended the field of beans. He got out there defending that field of beans. The next thing he knew, he was standing there all by himself with 1,000 Philistines surrounding him. Nobody stood with him. When they saw everybody coming, they decided they didn't need them beans so bad. Nobody else can eat them beans. That's what's going to happen. So the final thing I want you to know tonight is in verse 18, 17 and 18. If you're a God chaser, then these two verses are always going to guide you. Number one, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all Gentiles might hear, for I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And that's the first thing I want you to know. When you're a God chaser, if everybody deserts you, if people fail you, if people stand against you, if the very ones that you thought would be have your back, if they don't have your back and you find yourself by yourself, you're not by yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, the Lord, stood with Paul. He strengthened him. He defended him. He gave him the words in his mouth that he needed to say. And it's the same thing with you. If you're chasing after God, the Bible says if they bring you up before a magistrate, don't premeditate what you're going to say, but instead let the Holy Spirit speak through you, because God will defend you. I said God will defend you. He will bring you through the fire. He will rescue you out of the mouth of the lion. He will cause you to be exalted. He will cause you to be known. He will lift you up, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Hallelujah. The second thing I want you to know is he said, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and shall preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. If you're a God chaser, then there's going to be times that all you need is God. There's going to be times whenever you feel like you're alone. But I want to let you know, you're never alone. God is always by your side. He's always working in your behalf. And yes, they killed Paul, but they couldn't kill him until he fought a good fight and he finished his course. And they can't touch you either until you finish your course. So tonight, I may not have painted a pretty picture, but I want you to know that my desire is to always be a God chaser. No matter where he sends me, no matter where he leaves me, no matter what he does with me, and tomorrow, or the next day, if he says, I'm through with you preaching, sit on a pew, then that's going to be what I do. Because that's what I want. I want to be a God chaser. And even though it may be hard sometimes, and I've cried a few tears in my life because it's been difficult, because of some difficulties, but I want to let you know that when I came out on the other side, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. God always sustains, God always keeps, God always supplies, and God's never left me, and he's never forsaken me. And even though I walk sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death with my son, I felt his presence all the time. I never was alone going through that valley, that trial, that struggle. And even whenever it looks like it's hard, I want to let you know, if you're a God chaser, then you'll fight a good fight, and you'll finish the course, and you'll keep the faith. Amen. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Pray that the Lord's touched your heart. I pray I haven't discouraged you. Amen. To be a God chaser. Most important thing we do is follow after God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for this service tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord God, as you have led us and guided us, oh God. And now, Father, I pray, Almighty God, that you would determine in our heart, oh God, to chase after you, God. Lord, that you would be number one above all things and above all else, oh God, and that you would help us, oh God, to keep our eyes and our sight on you regardless of what goes on around us, God. Lead us and guide us, Lord God. Protect us throughout this week, Father. And may we experience your Holy Spirit, Lord God, each and every day, Father. May you rain down upon us, God, in power and in majesty and light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.